Go.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Unclick podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. Since I started this podcast, I've talked to you about being on here, and it's taken till the second season, now doing it with Fudger and RBMX, but we have Brad Sims on Unclicked. Welcome to San Diego, and welcome to the podcast, Brad.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate you inviting me on here.
Yeah, thanks for coming down, and thanks, Justin. He's the new fit, or I don't know if it's officially new, but you've been filming all the fit stuff lately, too. So
since about January.
Cool. So Justin's here sitting in with Brad, and
yeah, I'm glad this happened because it was, I think, comment wise, it was definitely like, get Brad on the podcast. So I hit you up, and like literally like 2 weeks later, you flew in, kind of like, oh, fit needed a couple of things with you, and just kind of worked out, and we're here. So
thanks for saying that, Fudger. Yeah. Brad, thank you for coming. What's been up, man? We were hanging out a bunch a couple years ago when you were filming Christian's and yourselves X Games Real BMX part, but I haven't seen you in a while. What's the life of Brad like nowadays?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went to NorCal, and we worked on a Real BMX part.
And you were in San Diego a bunch.
Yeah. But didn't you go with us for the one in 2019 as well?
To NorCal?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you did the roof to up rail. There was a lot of memories on that trip.
And I drove by that massive wall ride that you did to pull back in your X Games part yesterday, and I was like, God, that thing is so fucking huge. Like the big bank to wall, like the 7 foot bank, and then it's like you're like 8 feet up to the pull back in, like
the one in Chula?
The one in Chula, yeah.
Wallzilla.
Oh my God, ridiculous. Dude.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that wall ride in forever, and I'm like, oh my God. There's Brad wall marks. And then somebody else like did the gap to wall, and they're like 6 feet under. I swear
that photo looks fake. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, Brad did the wall ride. It looks like you put him 10 feet higher, like Photoshop.
That was a challenge, man. That was probably one of the hardest things I had to do.
Damn. Yeah.
But for the most part, what's up with me, man? I've just been taking it one day at a time, just enjoying being on my bike every day, and just for a while, I was kind of angry about a lot of things, just things, stuff just wasn't going the way at least I envisioned. And
was that around the time when you're filming the video parts and getting medals and X Games, like that time? And then, or was it a different era?
Maybe about a year and a half. Yeah, I'll say about a year and a half ago. Just, I don't know what it was. Well, I knew what it was. I just felt like those times where you're kind of complaining, you're looking for excuses, you're blaming, and excuses and blame will always be there for you, like, no matter what. And I just couldn't figure it out, like, what do I need to do to make things come to fruition? So I just kind of sat there, honed in, honed down, and just kind of thought of an idea, like, what do I need to do? I was broke, didn't have any money, but, you know, I started selling posters. Like, I hit up Cody York, and Cody, he gifted me a photo that I shot in Oregon about 2.5 years ago, and he said, you can have this photo. I was like, well, thank you. So I spoke to Jeremy and Felice. He gave me the information for a little place down in Austin. They made posters. So I ordered 50 of them. I had, I didn't have much, but I had a few $100 to my name. So I ordered those posters, made a bunch of stories, and so yeah, some autograph ones. People were buying them left and right. I was like, oh, wow. So I'm like, I started earning some money. But I couldn't really figure out, like, what to do with it, like how to put myself in position. So I saved that money. Then I moved back to Austin and started, kind of just gradually started riding.
So first I have to apologize for the tree trimmers that are definitely going to be on and off on this episode. Yeah,
background.
So, but, so this was all after X Games, correct? Like, you, like, because it feels like you've come in like waves, you know, like there's the Hoffman and Target days, and then you were traveling around for a while, and it seemed like, I think you mentioned you didn't even ride for almost like a couple of years, and then you came back, and then the X Games things, you were in that twice, and you won fan favorite, you got a couple of medals, and then it was another low, and you're like kind of figuring out what you were doing. Is that really crazy
because when you're invited to X Games, you know, as someone, you'd already like had a career before that, and then it was like, all right, X Games, that's going to put you back on the map, you know, like we were all hyped, like, dude, this is, you're going to get a medal in this, it's going to blow the career back up, like everyone knows, like you're back, you're down to film video parts, and it was kind of like, you got the X Games money, you got the medals, but then you were back at this, like, what the hell, like, what do I do now? You're selling posters. Like,
yeah, that was kind of...
It was supposed to set you up, but all of a sudden you're like, fuck, what's the next step?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it was going to set me up and, you know, help my career out a bit more, but it, I don't know if it did or... I don't know, it definitely did.
It did.
But not to... I guess not how I envisioned it.
It didn't, like, set you up for it. Like, it was like, oh, it made me do well for a little while, and then it was, like, back to where it was, right? So, I guess... I mean, I kind of want to rewind a little bit because I feel like talking about where you came from and how you kind of got into this crazy travel routine really cues it up. Because, I mean, you are how old these days?
34.
So, and you've essentially, and I just by what you said, I was, one of my questions was, like, was it calculated what you did? And apparently it was, but, like going through that whole process of, like, where you were and getting on the covers of magazines and feature interviews and sponsored by Target and all that stuff is like important to lay out, I think, you know? So, usually I don't talk about, you know, where, you know, like, how'd you get into riding? Like, but like for you, I think that's pretty important because I mean, I've heard you say like, essentially like, I don't think I would be alive or I would be in jail if it wasn't for BMX. Is that a correct?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
Yeah. So, you grew up in Maryland.
Yep.
Correct. And I know your uncle got you into riding. And I posted a photo of him recently and I was like, damn, he's just the Sims family is just gifted, just fucking like brick houses.
Everybody is. my bloodline, everybody's super built, yeah. Yeah, as far as that goes, I say yeah, without BMX I might be here, I might not. Definitely would not be sitting here with you all having this conversation right now. But, man, it's kind of hard to talk about because it's so much. It's so
just a lot of memories.
Start, where to focus in on type thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to start in the beginning? Because Fudger was saying we don't really ever start with anybody like, how did it all start? But you do have, like, even before Target and Hoffman, Bulldog, it was like Bulldog. Yeah. I was going to say that.
Yeah. We can start in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think, I don't know. I honestly, I know tidbits, but I don't, I mean, I've known you for 15 years or something, I feel like, right? Like, I remember.
More than that.
Yeah, like, Saunders and Binghamton or something like that. I think that was the first time I ever met you.
Staying in the hotel and I was snoring.
You were snoring way too loud and you ruined my night. And I remember I told you about it and it was
15.
Like
I met you when I was 15.
15, damn. Yeah. All right. So you were literally like, I just remember your face. You were
more
like,
than half your life ago.
Like, you just gave me that typical like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what the fuck?
I do remember that. I don't remember the hotel, but I was there riding. It was 15 and under.
Wow.
Kramer was riding, some other guy, and...
some other guy.
Man, I mean, you remember Kramer.
I remember Kramer. Yeah, I remember Scotty. Scotty won, I got second, and it was just a wild contest.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, we stayed there. Ryan was in the room. Was he in there, too?
Maybe, yeah.
But maybe, I know you let us sleep. You let us stay in your room.
Yeah.
And I ruined your night. But I was... full on freight train.
Nah, it's all good. So I guess like what was the town like where you grew up? Because I know it's Maryland, but it's not Baltimore. Is it outside of Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm from Southern Maryland. I'm closer to DC.
Okay.
Closer to DC, more suburban areas, but we moved around so much during my upbringing. My mother was never content with where we lived. I don't know why, but I think she experienced the same thing in her childhood, so it was constantly moving around from place to place.
Yeah.
So we just really never put our feet on the ground and stay anywhere.
And then what? So you got into riding, because I've asked you before, how come you traveled so much? And I like that story that everyone's like, why don't you ever go home? But once you started traveling and fell in love with it in the beginning of the career, you kind of just like were like, well, this is a better option for me. Correct, to stay on the road and do the BMX thing instead of going back home where you felt like it might not have been that secure of a place for you.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. It was family drama. Nothing was stable at home. And when I turned pro, travel options opened and the per diem checks were there. So I wasn't making much money, but per diem checks is there.
With, like, filming and photos and stuff?
Like, just like if he was on the road for 30 days, then he got, you know, $600 in food or whatever then. Yeah, so.
So these contests that I had no interest in riding, like, oh, hey, Brad, you want to go to Worlds? I'm like, yeah, sure, send me to Worlds. And, you know, they'd give me $500. That'd be for 2 weeks. So instead of, well, I'd go for the, like, duration of the contest, then I would end up flying back. So I'd have, you know, I had money for the month. Mm. And I would do that repeatedly until, you know, things come, until they got better, at least until they seemed to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go back home, see the same thing, same people, hanging around the same block, getting in trouble, and so, you know, this isn't for me.
You had this ticket out, too, that these people didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, where are your childhood friends these days?
We'll be right back. Hey, sketch comedy fans. If you like unapologetically uncensored comedy, check out Instant Microwave Fuzz, recorded every week, hot and fresh and straight out of the microwave. Unscripted jokes, uncensored guests. You're going to have a lot of outrageous improvised sketch comedy fun. You can find us on all the platforms under Instant Microwave Fuzz. Comedy made in an instant.
Yeah, one actually moved to Austin not long ago, but for the majority of my childhood friends are in Maryland.
Yeah.
Some are in prison, some are... Yeah, most of them are hanging out in Maryland.
Yeah, same, doing the same shit.
Nah, some of them have, you know, socially norm jobs, but some of them have, you know, normal lives. Some of them are living not so normal lives.
Yeah, so you started traveling like crazy, and as me being a young kid, just a fan, I would look at you like almost like you were a nomad. Like you'd be over in this country for that long, and then I'd just see like or see photos or video of you over in this country for that long. When did you start kind of just fully not going home and just realizing like I'm just gonna stay on the road? Because that was a time that was like a chapter of your life too. You've been to 100 countries, over 100 countries.
104.
I don't know anybody that's even come close to that.
104.
And we know a lot of travelers, so you're on like another level of traveling.
You know, that started, I wouldn't say not the first year, because the first year I got to really travel around was during, the first season of the X Games Street. So it was just, you know, going one trip, go for X Games, come back home. So yeah, X Games, Dubai, Brazil, Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So those were just short trips. And I didn't really understand why everybody would go to the contest. Then they immediately fly home afterwards. And I was like, why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense to me. Why am I not? I'm going to fly the other side of the world. And
to ride a contest course and zip back.
Like, yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And not until I went to Germany and I met Sergio. Sergio, yeah, he asked me, hey, what are you doing after the contest? Do you want to come to Spain? And I already had a round-trip ticket. I said, well, I can't go back. I don't know if they'll rebook me a ticket. So I left. And from that day on, I said, you know, I'm never buying a return ticket unless I absolutely have to go back home.
Wow.
So I think I was like 23. So the next time I booked a ticket, I
had, one way.
No, it wasn't a one way, but I just gradually walked myself into it. So you know what? I'm gonna go for 1 month, see how that works out. So I had them book me a ticket, you know, for like the 5th, and I was all right, fly me back at the end of the month. So I did that. So I just gradually.
And you had no plan.
Nope. Yeah. That was during the MySpace era.
Yeah.
So I would. Because
for kids that don't know, that was before Facebook.
Friendster.
Nah, I never.
So what, you'd get like a ticket to a contest or a filming trip or whatever, and then after that it was like go on MySpace and see if there's any kids around that or people.
Or you'd meet people at the contest.
Because you were a kid at
too,
the time.
Right?
So
I meet people at the contest. They would either invite me to their country or...
Their country.
Yeah. They invite me to their homes in their country or we would... Where I'd be on MySpace, because, you know, you had your, what was it, like the top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Top 8.
Yeah, you got to rank your friends in order.
Did you have it?
Oh, yeah, I loved MySpace. when it disappeared, I got over it. I was like, I was a MySpace kid. I like that.
So you had your top there, and you had all these friend requests and random messages and people commenting on things. And some like, hey, man, you should come to Poland or come here, some of these places. So I write them back. Okay, cool.
I'm coming.
So I'd go. So they booked me a flight. I'd fly to to Germany or Italy or somewhere. And while I was out there, I'd send those guys a message. Like, hey, man, if you want to come out here, hang out. I was like, all right, well, hop on a train straight over to that country. And I'd go stay with them. They would put me up for a few days. Then I would I'd do that for the whole month. And that's how I, you know, built this huge network.
I mean, that has to produce some awkward situations, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know these people, but at the same time, it's like an amazing set of memories.
You get it. Like, I mean,
everyone else has to go home because they got whatever reason, they're locked down to whatever back home, and you're just like, I'm not going back home because the world's my home.
And if you ever find yourself in a random country and you meet somebody and they're friendly and you feel safe about it, and they invite you to their home for dinner and you feel safe, of course, you know, like, if you don't feel safe, don't do it. But if you feel safe, fucking do it, because that is the realest experience that you'll have. Like, the times that I've ever had, like, a home-cooked meal at somebody's house in Japan or Chile or something like that is, like, been, like, the coolest experience. Like, you remember that stuff more than going on the top of some skyscraper and then looking down or something, you know, some touristy-ass stuff. So that is, and that's what you, I mean, you're in somebody's house.
That's how Brad was living the whole
time.
Yeah,
you're in somebody's house. Not and it's the like, tourist it can't be comfortable. They can't have a spare bedroom, right? Like, you're sleeping on floors. You're sleeping and using the cat as a pillow.
I couldn't agree with you more, but not all the time.
Yeah.
I've stayed with rich kids.
Oh,
I've
okay.
stayed with beautiful kids, women. People that come from all different backgrounds.
Some ugly women.
I think probably one of the wildest houses I stayed in was with this guy Wendy in Ethiopia, Indonesia. Our friend Mesha flew into Jakarta, Indonesia. He picked me up, stayed in his house. It's just a traditional house, flushing, we had plumbing and everything.
Yeah.
Then we took a train all the way to Surabaya, Indonesia, which is like 20-some hours away. So we got there and walked into Wendy's house. And half of it was inside, half of it was outside. And I'm looking around, like, all right, I guess this will be okay.
Yeah.
And like, I said, yeah, it's got to be okay. It's the only place we have to stay. So I'm laying on the floor and a rooster runs by me. And I'm like, so a rooster ran past my head. And I'm like, ah, man, okay, well, this is what I have to work with. Then... you never know what you're going to walk into.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, so much of our lives is like is about control and controlling what you eat and controlling where you sleep and controlling
insecurity.
Yeah, like, and so like going into a situation like that, the unknown situation, like, mm-hmm. you and having to deal with it is like a special type of person, you know, like, to be okay with it, mm-hmm. and to continue to be like, yeah, I'm going in the unknown. Sorry, the dog.
It's okay. It's amazing.
The dog hates the tree cutters. We have the perfect storm right now. So
the amount of memories you have compared to even myself as a traveler, it's like just the shit you've done. You've stayed in little yurts in Mongolia and ripped around places I've never even had an opportunity to go to because I've never just like said yes to staying at some kid's house or some person's house, and you've just ran with it.
It's easy to, nobody wants to be uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. So constantly putting yourself in these vulnerable situations makes it easy for you to shy away from them.
Yeah.
We went to Mongolia. Only one rider there spoke English, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because seldom does that actually happen. Usually there's
always somebody.
There's right? somebody, a rollerblader around, a skater, somebody will speak English. And it's Mongolia. It wasn't like any languages I was familiar with. And we went out one day, we were riding around with my friend Matt, and all these kids started pointing at me. I was like, oh, in Mongolia, these Mongolian riders actually know who I am. And they're like, you can hear them talking, it's just, Brad Sims, Brad Sims. So I walk over and try to introduce myself. I'm like, hey, Brad. And like, Brad.
That's it.
They knew BMX English.
Yeah.
They didn't actually know how to speak English.
Yeah.
They, bar spin.
They were like, ice pick up this 20 stair rail for us.
No, that's way too much. That's way too much. It was just bar spin, 180, bar spin, like X up or something. Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on, but
it's crazy.
I do. But yeah, you run into like, the most, you either get into one of the most awkward situations or the best situation. But it's always a situation you can kind of navigate around.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, there's positive and.
Well, that's what I mean. It takes a certain type of person to navigate around it. Sometimes people just freak out, you know, like there's a lot of people out there that don't travel well, you know, so.
People from these first world countries too, have very fluffed up lives, and they just don't know how to stay on someone's floor where their house is half indoor, half outdoor. You know, yeah. It's a great trait to be able to rough it a little bit and become vulnerable and figure out situations that you have to navigate around.
Have you ever been stuck somewhere, like in a country where you didn't have enough money to get out or you couldn't access money?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a story.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
This is when I lived in Poland. I lived in Poland for about 7-8 months. And while I was there, this was during the time I was riding for Merit, this distributor from there sent me a message from Kazakhstan. He said, "Hey, Brad, we would love to have you over here. Can you come out?" So I looked up online. Okay, I need a visa for Kazakhstan. Took the train to Warsaw. Went to the Kazakh embassy. This was probably the rudest person I ever met at a consulate before in my life. So he looked at me and he goes, "What do you need? What do you want?" I said, "I want to apply for a visa for Kazakhstan." He goes, "Why? Who's inviting you? Where's your invitation?" He said, "What's the number? Give me your phone. Show me the number." And he put the phone straight up. He called him immediately.
Yeah.
And they were speaking Russian. They were talking on the phone. They put the phone down and said, "Okay, well, fill out these papers. $200 and come back and get your visa in like 5 days.
$200 to go to Kazakhstan seems like pretty steep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all the countries, and if you fly to Central Asia, you're going to pay money. You're going to, for Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, all the places.
All the stands.
Yeah.
No more ice in your coffee.
Sorry. Am I bugging you?
No, you're not. So got the visa. Flew out. So while I was there, all the riders around, they're super psyched. Having a good time, and two riders from Kyrgyzstan, from Bishkek. See, Almaty and Bishkek are only, it's like a 3-hour drive, not far away at all. They came over, they're talking to me, "Hey Brad, you should come to Kyrgyzstan." Kyrgyzstan, what's that like? So they're like, "Okay, cool." And while I was there, I was talking to, what's the guy's name? I don't remember his name, but he was like some business guy. He didn't ride, but he was a businessman, and that was his thing. He thought that he was just going to make a lose some money off of selling bike parts in Kazakhstan. And Kirill, so he's a great friend of mine to this day. Yeah, Kirill said, "Yeah, you should come to Bishkek. You can stay at my place." I was like, "All right." He's like 17, and his parents are there, everybody. And while I was there, I asked the guy, it's Stas. That was his name. I asked him, "Say, hey, can I go from Kazakhstan to Kyrgyzstan on a single entry visa?" He said, yeah, "Sure, me, no problem." And I asked him 2 or 3 times. Then I called around asking people. So while I was there, I packed up my bags. So, you know, I'm going to pack all my things. I'm going to grab my laptop, all my belongings. And I left. It's like 3 days later. So I'll be back in 2 days. Went to Kyrgyzstan, stayed there for a week, filmed a video. And I tried to cross back over into Kazakhstan. And the Border Patrol looked at me and goes, "No, you can't go." So, "Why not?" He goes, "Well, you have a single entry visa." I looked at him, "Oh my God, this is." I say, "Now I'm in trouble."
Yeah.
I say, "My round trip ticket was booked out of Almaty. I'm low on money." So I went right back to, I hopped in the taxi and went back to Kirill's house. They picked me up. And I said, I end up having to stay for a whole month in Kyrgyzstan. Because I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
I had to wait for my pay. And that guy refused to...
Stas?
Yeah. He refused to send me money for a new visa so I could go back into Almaty to catch my flight. So I ended up staying there. Kirill didn't speak much English at the time, so I stayed there and took a private lesson class in Russian so I could communicate with him. I was like, "I can't do this, man. I can't walk around with you all day long and have bike talk." It was just... "Brad, bar spin?
He just wanted to communicate, but that was all he had.
Yeah. I was like, "Man, my stomach hurts.
Yeah.
Not ice pick." Oh, yeah, it feels like an ice pick. And I was like, I need to do something else.
So are you riding all the time? What do you do for that month? Like what?
Oh, I was riding. I filmed a video. If you remember, there's a video of him. I think it was all in black and white.
Uh-huh.
And it said Brad in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
There was one clip filmed, two or three clips filmed in Serbia, one in Poland, and the rest was filmed in Kyrgyzstan.
So is this all just cell phone stuff? You had a camera?
I had a DSLR, and this guy Will there, he had one.
Okay.
So he helped film.
Because, yeah, I remember at some point you were definitely hanging out with a guy that could actually film, mm-hmm. and you were putting some stuff out, and it was really cool. But I guess, you probably got enough random-ass stories to fill the entire day, for sure. But what effect do you think all that travel had on your career as a pro rider?
I think in some ways, it hurt my career in a way because people looked at me and they questioned my work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, he's sponsored. He's out riding, or he might be riding. He's just in some far off country, hanging out, drinking pina coladas, and doing nothing. So no one really kind of knew what was going on. But that wasn't a thing. I was out riding, meeting riders, any and everywhere. My bike was always with me. It doesn't matter where I go, my bike is with me. So, I think people didn't trust my work ethic.
I think it made you bigger as like a worldwide professional because kids saw you in real life. You were everywhere in the world. But we've had this conversation before where sponsors started to think like, oh, if we sponsor Brad, he's the man. He films the dopest clips. He's cool. Everybody likes him. But if we sponsor him, he might disappear over in Asia for 3 months. And damn it, like, you know, his paycheck's going to be for traveling because they just didn't get what you were doing. So what kind of led you back to like ending that and deciding like, all right, well, I need to be a little bit more home based so people can like have trust in me that I'll back their companies? Or was that the reason why
before, did you feel that from sponsors, I guess?
Yeah, I felt it because people would ask me, well, are you going to be around for a trip? And I'd say, yeah, well, when it's a trip, if it's in August and it's March, why do I need to be in the U.S. right now?
Yeah.
The trip's in trip's in August.
Yeah.
It's March. So, yeah, I did. I felt it. And it was one of the most difficult things was during – or just filming, having somebody to consistently film. And this was, I don't even remember. What was the...
You live too much. You don't remember.
No, there's just two different questions coming from both of you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well,
I don't even remember my question. I was listening now.
Well, I just wanted to see. I was curious if you had that feeling from sponsors, you know, whether it was Hoffman or Merritt or, you know, anywhere along the line, like if you were feeling that sort of vibe like hey, you know, we love you, but you're out in one of the stands and we have no idea, like your ticket back is $3,000 to go to a trip in SoCal, like it's kind of hard, you know. Mm-hmm. That type of thing.
I've definitely blown it on a few trips. Yeah. That's for sure. Or there's times where I used my own money. I flew back. It's like, well, I chose to come out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hanging out. There's no reason why I shouldn't fly myself back unless you're all going to do a trip in the country that I'm already in.
We'll be right back.
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the US, or Rob, who flew his entire family of seven to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
Yeah. Was so I guess also, I mean, I feel like we're jumping around a bunch, so I apologize, but so you had the Target days where they had a crazy travel budget and they sent you off to the worlds and stuff like that. And then, for a little while, how long did that last?
Target was Hoffman Target. That I think that lasted for, I want to say, 2.5-3 years, maybe. The Target thing.
What was? How much was that travel budget? Was it unlimited?
No. It was $15,000.
Okay.
When people heard about me having a big travel budget, I felt like that made it almost impossible for me to pick up a new sponsor after that. They looked at me and they said, "Okay, well, if we sponsor Brad, he wants some astronomical amount of money for travel." And that wasn't the case. That was never it. I never cared about having some massive travel budget. Like, if you want to give me money to travel and go to the places, cool. If not, I'll do it on my own. And so each company I would hit up, it's like, no, no, no. I've been told no by probably, I don't know, 90% of companies in BMX.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So
that's crazy because you had like such one of the longest street careers ever. Mm-hmm. And I seriously think it's just that people just thought you were going to disappear on them. But now that you've come home, back domestic, and you've been here, you're starting to pick up some dope sponsors. And I feel like every company is looking at you now. But that took a whole different approach. And I guess that kind of takes us to this new mindset and where Brad's at, and every day just putting content out in front of people and being like, look, motherfuckers, I'm riding. Because you've always been doing it, but now it's like you got the Instagram. It's just been like this constant cell phone coverage and going out and getting clips every day.
Yeah, I had to go through a mind shift change.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's pretty crazy, that whole...
Well, why did you come back? Why did you stop traveling? Sorry, why did you stop?
We're jumping back.
Yeah, like, I just want to know why you stopped. Like, why did you come to Austin?
I went to Austin to film the first time I went to Austin to film a bar promo for Merit.
Okay.
And I just decided I wanted to ride my bike. And it was easier. It's easier for me to be in Austin than out here in Cali. Two sponsors. I was riding for White House.
White House, yeah.
And Merit. And 50-50s there as well. But I didn't have the means to travel around anymore. I was just kind of broke. Yeah. And Austin, that's the second BMX mecca in the U.S. So why not go back to Austin?
And is that kind of leads us back to the posters thing, right? Like, that's where you did the posters. You're like, hey, I'm broke. I'm going to try and finagle something. I'm going to try and make something work. And then did the Instagram thing come, like, kind of when you got to Austin and you're like, oh, I'm just...
Instagram, I had this... think about that for me. I took a minute because I had a struggle. I struggled with Instagram at the beginning, like at the genesis of it, because I didn't just start posting bike clips on there. Not for a long time. I was mostly just posting travel photos.
Yeah.
So, and that was, it's almost like right now the BMX community, like I don't remember there be, I guess at the beginning there was like a decorum for how you presented your bike riding or whatever on Instagram. Like, we would put your mediocre clips and the bangers would be saved for there. But people forget that Stevie and Chad were posting tweak bangers back in the day.
Tweak bangers?
Like on Twitter. They were tweeting clip. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I don't remember that, but...
Go on. I mean, if you were really on, I was like, so this is what's going on. Like, people are really
posting. They just weren't saving shit.
No, they weren't. So I sat down for a minute and I thought to myself. Like,
but Chad was. Chad was working on full parts and not posting them.
He was, but he was also
posting other clips.
Posting wild clips on on Twitter,
yeah,
Instagram, everything. So I sat there for a minute.
And Chad kind of still does that. Like, his level on Instagram is just as gnarly as, like, mm-hmm. as a lot of stuff on video, too.
Well, if we're going to talk about that, though, he does have that.
He has a balance.
He has a balance. Yeah. He knows what he's doing with each thing because he'll post, like, the craziest skate park clip ever, but he doesn't consider himself a professional park rider. So yeah. That's just, you know.
I'm sure there's a hierarchy to it.
Definitely. But, Brad, you've had, like, a completely different mindset on it to where you're like, all right, I filmed these video parts. They've got me medals in their banger parts doing my craziest shit, and now I'm selling fucking posters. What? And then it seemed like it got the ball rolling in your head of, like, what am I going to do now? Am I going to work a job, or am I going to do something else in BMX that can get me shine?
Yeah. Yeah, the gear's turning. And, I sat there for a minute. This one, while I was... like going through that mind shift change, that's when I got dropped from Merit.
after all this, you're probably just like, what the fuck? Like,
so I'm thinking, all right, oh, a medal, you know, another X Games medal.
2 years in a row, fan favorite.
Two years in a row. All right, well, yeah, Mike and I had a conversation, we talked, and there's no, you know, I wish them all the best. But he said to me, all you do is post old shit and you're difficult to work with. And when he said that, that was just,
that was pretty brutal to hear, especially from a longtime friend.
Yeah, that was the last straw. And I said, you know what? If that's what, that's how you feel, watch what the fuck I'm going to do. And you take a man, my whole life I've been in survival. I've been in survival mode my whole life, but I never had a plan. So I said, you know, I'm going to implement a plan. And I'm going to go with my, determination, my will. Like, I'm intrinsically motivated. I don't need to extract any kind of motivation from anybody. I love watching everybody ride. I have plenty of favorite riders, but I don't need one drop of inspiration from anybody. When it's time for me to go, it's time to go. So the day after Christmas, I went out. So I'm going to give myself 6 months. If I can't make it happen in 6 months, I'll go off, I'll fade out, I'll ride my bike, I'll just be like a weekend warrior, whatever, get a normal job.
Kick off that bodybuilding career.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's fucking sick though, dude. Like, just you're like, hey, this is Brad 3.0. I'm gonna fucking do it for 6 months. If it works, like,
you know, I'm not gonna think about the outcome.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna work, and I know it's gonna make me a stronger person, you know, throughout the journey. And I just worked. I went out every day. I still go out. If I go out, I don't care. We can go out right now, and I'll find something. I'll probably do it. And I didn't have a filmer. It was just whoever was with me. We had a camera. You knew something about. They knew how to, you know how to point a camera at me and you could follow me for 25 feet, I'll let you film. I had a random lady at a park one day film something for me. She was there with her kids. She's like, excuse me, can you film this for me? She's like, yes. All right, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And she filmed it.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Literally everybody is a cameraman these days, though, with a cell phone. So that's where you're obsolete, Justin.
And it's amazing, dude. I've had some core BMXers be like, that's crazy what Brad does, but man, like, I want to see video parts from him. And I go, look at what he's doing. And I said that thing. I was like, he's got medals in X Games. He's put out bangers. He's been on every trip. And he still wasn't getting what he deserved because of whatever the misconceptions were about you from the past, the traveling, where you've had 90% of the company say no. And look what you did. You went on Instagram. You just said, fuck it. I'm going to film the clips I want to film, and I'm going to put them out. I'm not going to think about any sort of brackets of what clips go where. And you go out with Justin and make video parts. So it's like, and I explain that to him, and they're like, holy shit, okay. Like, that does make sense. I'm like, yeah, look at it. Look at the bigger picture, what he's doing. And he's like the fan favorite. Everybody loves you. Everybody always did. But now with this Instagram thing, it's like, I have friends. They're like, who should I follow on BMX? And I'm like, check this guy. And they're like, oh, I already follow him. And they're not even bike riders. You know, like my That's friend from was Oakland was like, I know this guy. Yeah. My friends always send me videos of him. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, dude, you're big.
Yeah.
Like, I purposely wanted to. Like, that was the plan. I want to, people, okay, oh, he must be saving something. Like, no, I'm not saving anything. Like, if I see it, I want to do it. Like, I'm going to purposely blur the lines of what it means to, if you feel like you want to throw your mediocre clips online, then keep doing it. But I know when the dudes that I follow, I don't follow them. I follow them because they're my friends, but also I follow them because they do dope stuff. You don't follow, I don't think people just follow you because you, because you post media clips, because you don't. You post bangers. You want to see dope stuff. I don't just follow a guy because he does feeble grinds on a small ledge and 180s or whatever. You follow crazy accounts.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're your friends.
So I want to talk about, like, the riding itself. Like, because I feel like it's definitely you, but I feel like it's, like, a new version of you, you know, like you've always been such a powerful rider, but like the nose wedge stuff on benches and like
even bringing it back to like the parts he was filming with Christian, they were like, you'd sit there for an hour and just boom, send a banger. And now it's like, you've just kind of seems like you're doing the craziest shit, but it's just natural and fun to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's just stuff that
it's like organic and but a bit refined, but still creative. And
yeah, it's stuff that like
you find a 6 foot tall rock and you're like, oh, that's my spot.
Yeah,
instead of like
disaster five this thing, you know. Yeah. like it's just how Dennis said, like it's something that you don't necessarily need to ride BMX to go like, that was fucking impressive.
Exactly. And I think that's authentically you too. You say you have all these people you think are dope, and but you don't have anybody that you look at and like, oh, I gotta go do that. That's why you can tell with your riding it's so authentic. And you think that's, do you just see these things and it's just natural, or is it like you go out thinking like, all right, I want a disaster this rock or manual 180 up and over this 6 foot fucking thing?
I see those things, I see people, and I'll steal from any and every rider I see. I'll take something.
Just inspiration, you know? Mm-hmm. You just take a little inspiration.
I see it.
Stealing. He's saying stealing.
No, inspiration.
You can take it, but as I look at it more, what Picasso said, he said, good artists copy, great artists steal. Yeah. So if I take something from you, I'll make sure I try to embroider on it to make it, so I'll try to re-engineer it and make it work for me. So I took it from you. It was like a bit of inspiration. Like I grabbed it, but I might take it to the street. It may hasn't been done in the street, so I'll take it there or somewhere else. It's just, I think I just found a way to reinvent myself without having to do gnarly stuff all the time. Like the way I rode during the X Games videos is not how I really want to ride. That's more of an act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can ride that way, but how I'm riding right now is the best version of me.
Mm.
And that's how I kind of found a new wave of just reinventing myself.
It's beautiful. It's like even with the real BMX stuff, I could tell you can do all that stuff, but it was almost driving you crazy. Like just having to find like 10 or 15 bangers every 6 months. Like it was nuts by the end of it. Like you were just
dangerous.
It's dangerous. Yeah. You're looking at crazy shit and you thought you had to do it for a gold medal. Would you go back now if you had a second chance of like a video contest to ride more authentic, like the stuff you post on Instagram, or would it be back to like, all right, I'm doing this again?
Oh, if I went back for a third video, it would be more tech gnarly.
Yeah.
More the stuff that just makes you question like, what's possible.
That's what you're doing right now too.
Yeah.
That's what I would go for, because the risk is there, but it's low. But it's me doing tricks that no one would think.
Well, the risk is low for you because that's your shit. That's your specialty. But for me, if I tried any of that, I'd be like, oh, that's how I get hurt. None of that makes sense to me.
It's like do you remember like the post when the manual tap gap to wall?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'd be more stuff like that, or like big G turns over rails. I would just kind of
ramp that up. It's a lower level of risk, but that's just because I think that's exactly what you do. And when you were trying to like grind hard 180 into a little hole in San Francisco when it was freezing cold, it was like you were just pushing it.
God, I was getting
that was insane, melted. Dude. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Grind
that footage come out.
I think the fall came out maybe.
The slams are out.
Yeah.
It was this grind hard 180, and like literally, it's like a 20 stair, and he was gonna land it. Like the rollout would have been pulled in this little hole when you
in this room.
It was so small. I was like, dude, that's the grind
hard.
This room is huge. 10 by 10 maybe. But yeah, you were doing stuff like that where I was like sitting there watching, just like, dude, I would try and help pump you up, but at the same time, I'm like, this is insane, Brad. Like, this is like literally a stunt. But I knew he could do it because I've seen him do shit where I'm like, I don't know if that's possible. And he just does it, like the manual tap 180 on that thing.
Yeah, exactly. I
remember running up and being like, you fucking got this. And you just.
I was like, shh. Everybody, I was like, don't say nothing.
But I kept saying stuff.
No, you didn't say it after the first try.
Okay.
Then, but yeah, we sat there. And I was like, "Please, like nobody say anything."
His approach to things is really cool. It's like he'll just sit there. It's like he almost meditates on it for a long time, and you're like, "I don't think he's gonna do this." And then, boom, go for it. Like after running up to it 100 times, and just like it's not like you're freaking yourself out. He just figures it out, and then you're ready for it. And it's hard for me not to go up and like amp you up, because that's how I am. Like, dude, get this, Brad. You got it. You're just like, damn it. I'm going to do it when I'm going to do it. I'm down there like, oh, you got it, man.
Going back to the writing itself, do you think that there's some of the stuff you put out, you're thinking about your
disregarding what core BMX would like. You know, like sometimes I feel like some of it's
like I said, the core kids were confused when they were bringing up Brad. Like, how is he just posting this stuff every day? Like, where's
Well, like, you know, like there's stuff where I'm trying to think. Like,
some of it's almost like trials-esque.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, but that's what I mean. That's always been Brad. I remember when, what's the Danny Macaskill? Like when his very first video, like the very first one. Of course, I was being a fucking hater, and Danny Macaskill is awesome. Like I've actually met him. He's amazing bike rider. I've met him in person. He's super fucking cool. But like when the first video first came out, I was like, Brad could do all of that stuff. Like Brad could do every single clip in this video.
For people who don't know, too, Fudger is BMX or die.
I love all the sports,
but Fudger, he'll have
everything.
I love everything. He is BMX salt.
No, I'm not
salt.
Is it BMX salt?
I'm not salty about
it. It's a good thing BMX needs that.
I love BMX more than anything else. That's not salty.
No.
But I'm just saying, I don't hate anything. Hate is such a strong word.
No,
get me off the rails.
Yeah, I do this to Fudger sometimes.
I know it's going to come up eventually. So you brought up the fact that it was like kind of trials-esque, but that's always been in your wheelhouse, you know? Like when the Danny Maxwell video came out, it was like, I saw stuff that Brad could do, and like the way it was done, I was like, Brad could do all of that stuff, like it. And so it seems like it's like a plus. Like, I don't know how to ask the question, but I just feel like sometimes some of the stuff you're like, I know this trick will do well on Instagram.
Oh, I know exactly how to play with the algorithm.
Like, hey, this isn't necessarily cool, okay, but I know this will do well on Instagram, and like, so you're disregarding, you know, fucking Rat Kid's gonna send you a text and be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, but like,
I feel like sometimes it's like a feat of athleticism, even more exactly. So over like,
perfect, thank you,
bike riding, you know what I
I'm
mean?
Glad you sat down, Justin. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I will purposely do something just because I know it'll create an uproar.
Yeah.
I know, like, I would never put it in a video part.
Yeah.
But, you know, like to say, it's social media, Instagram, you know, whatever. So I'll throw it on there. I've had people call me an Instagram rider.
Yeah.
Like, riders that have blown up. I'm like, you came up during the Instagram era. Like, how can you call me an Instagram rider when, I mean, without Instagram, I wouldn't know who you are. Like, exactly. There are three quarters of the new generation. Well, yeah, I wouldn't know three quarters of the new generation without Instagram.
Yeah, that's where things are.
And that's pretty funny to call you an Instagram rider when you've done it through props, through DVDs, through old shit, you know, where there was the magazines, everything, where you didn't hear about anybody until the next part came out and the next magazine photo came out. So I can call you an everything kind of writer. You've done all chapters of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm like, all right, that's how you feel. Yeah. If you take out my Instagram writer.
I mean, there's always going to be people that, you know.
Honestly, that's a compliment. That love, like, cool.
That 2020, that want like, video parts. You know, Justin loves video parts.
I've been on Rofools, and I've done blowing up my Instagram now, so... Middle finger up to that.
I love parts. I love it all.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew that I had to do something, so I did it.
Yeah.
And Instagram gives you immediate gratification.
So what was the result? And how did that 6 months pass without anything happen? Like, how did it come to fruition that you're still here instead of being a weekend warrior?
During the time, I thought, I'll ride, and I won't think about the outcome as much. I'm just going to do the work, keep riding, and see. At first, I was working just to see if somebody would come and, you know, if I get some phone calls, some emails, messages. But nothing was happening. And I was like, well, this is kind of weird. So I stopped thinking about it. That's when I was really reaching out to people, and not much was going on. Then I was riding around with Tom a bunch, and Tom was just throwing stuff over to Fit. They were sort of talking. So, yeah, big shout out to Tom
Dugan.
You know, and everybody who was in a position of power riding for his company is like, man, you should have this, you should have that. But nobody was actually
ponying up.
No, not at all. Tom stood up, and, you know, he put the word, I mean, he can't.
He made it happen.
Yeah, he can't. He couldn't make it happen. I mean, you can only. He presented them an opportunity, and they they took the ball, they ran with it.
Nice.
And so that's what happened in May. I picked up Fit, and things have been going great. And some other cool things in the works that you'll all be hearing about in the near future.
Awesome. So things are coming.
I'm interested.
And that's got to be encouraging for kids listening, because you hear kids say they get so discouraged, like, I put out 2 video parts, and all their friends are like, why isn't he coming up? Brad Sims was having trouble looking for sponsors at one point. You know, like, kids, it's a small little niche-y world. Like, you can do it, but you've even had to keep putting in work over and over again to revamp the career. It's like, it's not that easy. It's a small little world, you know?
Difficult, incredibly difficult. And it should be difficult.
It should.
There's a reason why
you're getting paid to have fun. So to get up there, you got it's hard work.
Yeah, it's a reason why you're sponsored. You know, if I would look around and every sponsored rider was mediocre, I'm like, well, then I would start questioning. But when I see you, I'm like, yeah, I know why Dennis is there.
Thanks.
When I see this guy, I'm like, yeah, I know why he's shooting photos for Nat Geo or whatever. You know, you see the work. The work is there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not looking at somebody, he just does feeble grind to manual on 8 off curbs. Like, I have questions then.
But, good point. Know? Yeah. Yeah. When you look around, you're in the van, you're like, you get out of the rail and you're like, everybody I'm on this trip with is fucking sick. Like, you know, it's cool. And there's really sick kids that aren't sponsored yet, but it takes consistency, throwing it in people's faces, video parts, Instagram. Like, you got to just show that you're not here for a year or two and you're going to be over it, you know, because there's been so many people like that.
Do you think you're a better rider now than you've ever been in your entire life? I honestly like how Brad takes a minute and really thinks about
too.
It. I think it's cool.
He's still thinking.
Not at everything.
No?
I think I'm a better street rider now.
Yeah.
I'm not. I think.
You haven't done a tail whip like 8 feet out of a quarter in a while?
I was a better all-around rider 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a much better street rider now.
But you probably feel, do you feel better on your bike? Do you feel like you have more control than ever? You know, like, I think just I'm going in the direction of like longevity and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm older than you and I don't feel better anymore. I don't know. Oh. I feel like I peaked out a little, but I just need to ride more.
No, I feel great. But during the first I'm glad you brought that up, because when I first started going out and filming those clips every day from like after Christmas, it took, I want to say 4.5, maybe 5 months for my body to stop being sore.
Mm. So you're just breaking through the soreness and getting another one.
And now I'm fine. I feel good. But it took 4.5, 5 months of just riding every day at that level. And kids think that most riders go out, like, dudes that are sponsored are out dropping hammers every day. That's not the case. But I was out riding 7-8 hours every day, and it took a toll on me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But after, like I said, after like 5 months, it was gone. I just woke up one morning, my body was like no longer sore.
You've turned into like a calloused machine, right? And I can't get sore anymore.
Yeah, I'll get up in the morning, I'd stretch, I'd do something. I'm like, man, nothing's working. Then finally, everything just kind of just went away.
That's cool. Has Instagram thing produced any like weirdness? You know, like, have you gotten like mattress deals or mud water, or like, do you get, because I don't remember you posting anything like that. And I feel like if you were, you know, in the beginning, if you were selling posters to make some money and like some stuff like that was coming up, that I feel like you would have probably done it if you needed that, if that money presented itself. And I feel like
I've had some weird stuff come to me. I've had nicotine companies offer me stuff. I mean, like, a lot of money. I'm like, oh my God, I do not smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, yeah, I could use $10,000 right now. Like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to turn this down. But like cigarette companies.
Cigarette companies? I've never heard of that one. You get cigarette companies that you up?
No, Rick Thorne's on a vape company, though, so that's like a similar thing. Okay. I've heard. And he gets paid really
good. Yeah, I guess vape.
But he actually likes vaping, so it's organic for him. Yeah. He vapes and reps it, but you not smoking would be.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
That vape stuff,
You never posted any of that. So, you know, like, I always think of, like, you know, there's a couple of dudes that, like, got free mattresses and stuff like that. And it's like...
Oh, yeah, Nathan got...
Oh, yeah, Nathan,
yeah, but I mean, like, Colin, too, and stuff like that. I'm not knocking anybody, but, like, I always think of that. Like, I'll fuck it, too.
Yeah.
Mattress company.
Especially for Nathan, because he's so chill and he doesn't really care about any of that stuff. He's such, like, a raw rider. But he's like, hell yeah.
Imagine if we were sponsored by, like, a mattress company. I was like, thanks for coming, Brad. Here's your free mattress.
Everybody, as soon as you walk through, you get a low bid.
That'd be sick. Oh, yeah. A sponsor to stoke the guest out. I like that idea.
Yeah, that'd be
any
great.
Mattress companies listening, we could, Justin and Brad, we could hook them up after this.
I need California King.
California King. There we go.
Yeah. I felt like if you were at, you know, I wouldn't say a low, but like you're, you know, and as I said earlier, your career has gone in waves. Like if it's, you're in a lull, your bank account's low, and you're getting these like weird offers. I don't feel like I've ever seen you take a deal like that, you know. So
no, I haven't.
Yeah,
I've done some clothing things.
Okay.
For people, like some repost stuff. What else I do? I did this thing like Sparkling Ice a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
I just had to post. It was just a photo of me sitting next to a bottle and a 2-story post, and that was cool. They paid me money.
Cool.
And I did, and about 2 months ago, this app, some challenge app. I did like a foot plant thing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And they paid money. So
energy bar? Something like that?
So he's got some cool gigs. All right.
So maybe, you're just doing it right so it doesn't
stand out.
Or, you know.
And he posts a badass clip like almost every day.
That's true.
So it's like even if he had to post a mattress, it would just disappear the next day because you'd be like, oh, there's a half cab whip across the street. Don't remember the mattress thing anymore.
It seems like you have this, like, you find a spot and then you just fucking destroy it. Like, one clip, and then it's like, oh, here comes the onslaught of, like, you know, like that wall ride I'm always thinking of is like, wall ride one foot table, wall ride, you know, like wall ride bar, wall ride 1 foot X, and then, you know, like, I see
the
that,
rock.
Yeah, the rock. Yeah. You know, like, so is how many clips do you get in a single day? Like, is it all one day, or do you actually like go like, oh, I'm going back, or you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, fuck, I can do that, you know?
Sometimes I'll go to a spot and I'll blow it out the same day,
mm-hmm.
or I'll just film one clip and I'll go back the next day
because
I'm like, you know what, enough wall rides for today or this week, and I'll go back to it the following. So I end up doing it, or I'll film maybe 2 things in different places throughout the day. Sometimes I'll get 3. If I get two or three,
there's a little bit of a strategy then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
content
rollout.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I'll do 2 in a day.
Yeah.
It's just I know what works on there, and the people who have like now like the tech like the super tech ledge riding, which I think is cool, is not me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really work for my style of riding. But I feel like kids are at least from on my platform. They want to see me do what I do.
Yeah,
they
want to
see me like go high in the air, jump over something, or grind something big, or
show the fucking muscles that no one else.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is that you have such a good background of like racing and riding trails and park, and that you have all those tricks that are like, you know, like the manual Superman is obviously like thinking of that, and it's like people don't even see you do a Superman. They didn't even know you could do it, and then you're like...
It's like the combination freaks everyone out. Like, manualing up that ledge is crazy, and then to pop off that high is crazy, and then a Superman.
Yeah.
It's like, where did...
Yeah. That was funny, because I hadn't done a Superman since I was, like, 17.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I knew the muscle memory.
You got it,
so
yeah.
That, yeah.
How do we get how do you get on World Star, dude? I feel like you should have been on there by now. What's up with that?
I think I need to do that while dribbling a basketball.
No, but they post like random ass BMX clips, like the Russian dude, the twins.
Oh, Max or Igor?
Yeah, like they got on there a couple of times, and I'm like, how does this?
Do they pay for that though?
No, they don't, because it doesn't say like sponsored.
The right person's just got to see it.
Yeah, I guess.
You're gonna get lucky,
I just think it's, I just, you know, clip is dope. No shot. It's just like, it's just a cool fucking BMX clip. Like, and where I feel like your type of riding like transcends, you know, a wider audience than that dude, you know. Doing a rail ride, you know, like, but no, again, no shots.
Hit him up.
And Rue is here.
Hit him up. Hit up World Star.
Should I? Yeah.
I you want him on there. What else you got going on? You came back out here last time. everyone who was saying you don't make video parts anymore, you shut them the hell up and made a sick video part in like like a week, it seemed like, during COVID when nobody else was doing anything. It was just like, all right, workhorse is working still. Like in the middle of it, you were filming crazy Instagram clips and making that edit, like all in the same trip.
How do you
like,
choose? Because I know it's got to be hard for Justin sometimes, like where he's like, he's like, I would film that. Why can't I just film it and then afterwards I'll just give you a clip for Instagram.
That's gotta like, drive that you. Type of thing. That's gotta make you like, what do I film? What do I not film?
Because I knew I'd have to wait for the clip.
He got a lot of, you know, all right.
Because like, I knew I wanted to post a certain time throughout the day, and I knew like, the traffic it would pick up. So, like if Justin filmed it,
oh, you're on that level.
Well, I was.
Yeah,
I had to be methodical about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So if he was filming, like, hey, you film this for the phone. I need this right now. But if he was filming with a camera, I knew I'd have to wait till we go back to the house for him to upload it, then send it to me. So I might be like 5-6 hours. That's how it was.
Instant gratification.
Hey, focus though. He knew how. He was coming up through, coming back up again for the 15th time in his career, and he knew how to do it. And that real camera was slowing his ass down.
Shoot. What?
But then it's Bluetooth. Like, but seriously though, you're filming dope clips and the edit came out not too long after and it was like, wow, he was filming Instagram clips and made this whole edit.
And that was in like 10 days, I think.
10 days. Yeah. And almost every day, probably every day, if I'm not wrong, you had an Instagram clip and then an edit that popped the fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like in the middle of no one filming fresh edits at the time. Everyone was kind of finishing up edits or whatever, but you just made a whole video in the middle of coronavirus.
People weren't riding at all.
People were here, but Austin, I think, was a little more locked up.
Austin was super locked down.
Yeah.
And I would go out riding, and I'm looking around, like, man, it is a real ghost town. And I was out every day. There wasn't a day I didn't go out during the whole, like, from the beginning of COVID or whatever. I was like, some people say, like, oh, this is the worst year ever. And I know this year has been tough for people. You know, some have lost loved ones. This year has been really interesting.
Yeah. It's been a good year to be a street rider because it is the bus factor is, I mean, I think we said this like every podcast.
All-time low.
Yeah, the bus factor is literally an all-time low. And then now when you interact with cops, it's like, they're like, hey, how you doing? Like, they're really, really nice for some reason.
And right people, now. Like we've said before on the podcast, like, you roll up to a spot and they're like, yeah, ride my rail in front of my house. We haven't got to leave the house in forever. We've been,
they need some entertainment.
The kids want to come
exactly.
watch, you know?
Entertain
like, me for fucking 10 minutes, please.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. Yeah. How would you say this year has been for you? Are you pessimistic about it? Are you stoked on it? Are you right in the middle?
I'm stoked. I'd say this year has been great. This has been one of the best years of my life.
Agreed. That's awesome to hear. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, it sucks for the people who've lost loved ones and the sad shit that goes on with losing jobs and everything. But if you had a good year, then
you
had a good year.
Two NORA Cup nominations?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you had a NORA Cup nomination?
Ooh, I think, 2007, 2008. Because I had a nominee for...
You motherfucker, it's been over a decade and you are shining hard again. Yes. Shining hard, but now two NORA Cup nominations.
I had a nominee for... It was for video part of the year for Shook.
Oh, wow.
Then
2007, that was...
That's crazy.
Then Street Rap.
That must have been the first year that we did video part then, if my memory serves me correct.
Probably. I was...
Because we did video part before video... This is a little known fact. We did video part before video, like, introduced, like, in, you know, NORA Cup, like, video part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do video of the year because it was the same year that Drop the Hammer came out, and we didn't want to, like, people to talk shit on us that we did video and then Drop the Hammer wins. So it was like, so then we didn't do video that year. They were like, oh, we need to do this for the riders. Next, like, and then we'll
You're
do
a good video. Man, so, Fletcher.
Yeah. So obviously never won an NORA Cup.
Nope. Never. Been nominee. Only nominees.
All right. Maybe.
Can we
try one out, Brad?
When do we get the little winners?
Try it out.
Try what out?
Grab that one.
You want me to walk over there and grab that?
Yeah,
grab
that one. Nah. Try it out. Hold it. See what it feels like.
What are you doing? What's happening here?
So we'll see.
I think Fudger's just teasing Brad, making him feel the Nora Cup, getting him excited in case like. He might win or not. Who's this? Who's
is it heavy?
What's that say? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Look at this.
Dude.
Yes. I had to put some stuff in it to make you think that it wasn't, like, on display.
Damn.
Congrats, Brad.
Thank you.
Reader's Choice, Writer of the Year.
Like,
I was like, I don't need to tell Dennis. I don't need to tell Dennis.
I was like, oh, shit, yes.
Congrats, sir.
Dude.
Thank you.
No way.
Glad we can make that happen for you.
I was literally, I kind of got onto it a few, like, 30 seconds in, but I was like, when are you going to announce everything? Damn, Reader's Choice.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Sorry,
I
was
just
the goal in there.
I do have a blank Nora cup up there all the time.
He does,
and this stuff was in there, so I was like, oh, I'll just put this stuff back
in. That's why
there.
In the
so
beginning
I swapped
like,
it out.
You're being so weird. What are you doing? Like, Fudger would never do something this weird.
You want to get in my cup? Come here.
Damn, Brad. What?
Hell yeah.
Amazing.
Dude.
Hey, long time coming.
Dude, oh my God. It's like your third career round, and you just won a Nora cup. Holy shit.
I mean, best year ever. I figured we would we'd you know couldn't get any better than that. So
I'm
sorry,
happy.
Sorry, England couldn't happen. But
man, that makes me want to. I've got tears of happiness. That's amazing, Brad. Dude.
I mean, hell yeah, dude. I mean, coming from like being like I'm gonna give it this 6 months, and then fucking and if it doesn't work, then fucking. But
I was close, man.
I say
6 months. That's like, I'm going to give you 5. I'm going to go hard for 5. And the 6 month was going to be me, I mean, really swinging.
Yeah.
And luckily I didn't have to do that. I'll save that for when I actually do another video part.
Yeah.
But I really thought about just kind of stepping away and just, you know, going off and doing something else.
Well,
but
I mean, hopefully you're fucking here for a long ass time, you know, like,
yeah, man, you said you're 34 now.
Yeah.
You reinvented yourself once again and you feel better than you ever have. You say you're not all around riding the exact same as you have, but as a street rider, and that's what you're professional at, you know,
I feel good riding everything. It's just, I'm riding street 90% of the time. But if I go,
that's what happens when
you
start
on the trails the other day.
Yeah.
And if you went to the trails twice a week, you'd probably be back to, or the skate park twice a week, whatever.
Oh, last time I was with my friend Brandon, my best friend. He lives in Maryland, and we're talking. And during the whole thing, he's sitting there, and he's incredibly quick-witted. He always has something to say. But this time around, he didn't have a whole lot to say. The very first time, because I had the same thing happen right before I got sponsored by Hoffman. This was right after Shook. And I was
with your buddy. He was not as quick-witted anymore. The same thing that happened?
Oh, we were talking because I thought about stepping away. I
said, okay.
I'm gonna go get a job and just work, because like, I don't know about this BMX stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time it happened. He said, "Man, I don't know if I were you. Like, you've been riding for during that time. I think I had like 12 years, 12 to 15 years of riding." And he said, "You've been riding for a long time. If I were you, I would stick to it.
Yeah.
Stick with it. Like, you put in that much hard work, you might as well do it." Then, like 6 months ago, we're in the same boat again. I'm like, I don't know, man. He goes, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he said, "Man, look, you can work as hard as you can for 10 years, but if you don't see it through to the 11th, you'll never know."
That's fucking true.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's 100% true.
That's insane. So you've already had those. I mean, I guess that happens with anyone, especially a career that's been almost 20 years long, being a full-on professional bike rider. Like, you're going to have those thoughts. Am I going to keep doing it? And it's crazy. And then you, after that, those thoughts, it all came back pretty hardcore after that, right? Like after the first times you thought you were going to kind of think about whatever else you could do and just be the weekend warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another full swing, another revamp. So kids, don't quit.
Exactly.
Things that you love.
Like, I just wanted to see
it.
What would happen if I don't give up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't be a professional bike rider forever, but if you still have the fire in you, then fucking fight for it, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I like to see Brad look at it.
honestly, to me, since you guys started this award, this is the most amazing award to win, because it means, you know, the other Nora cups are amazing because it's voted on by the dudes in the industry, the pros, the people in the industry, but this one is voted by the outside,
yeah, yeah,
the the kids,
the readers, the writers, not, you know, kids, yeah, our like, peers, you know, also our peers. I mean, you said you voted for Reader's Choice. I'm a reader, you know, like, so it's definitely, this is like, you see it in the Instagram comments for all the NARC up stuff on YouTube, on Instagram.
Brad. The fans got you.
Yeah. So it's like,
I didn't tell anybody to vote. I didn't say, hey,
which is exactly how you should.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't.
And it's another amazing thing too, because normally it goes to like Tyler Fernangles got it. Chad got it when he was growing up. Gareth
Boyd, I think Boyd got it last year.
Boyd got it when he's in his first big year of turning pro. But I think aside from you and Garrett, you guys are the only like staple pros who have had long careers that have won it. So that's like really special, because normally they get like the readers pick a new kid. Yeah. And you are a new kid.
It's Brad 3.0.
It's Brad 3.0, but you ain't a new boy. You've been in the sport forever.
This is special to me.
Oh, yeah.
This is a special one for me.
Amazing. You deserve it. So
thank you.
I'm glad it worked out. Like,
that was obviously cool.
Yeah. So
did you know Justin?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
man, Justin. I know. We both didn't know.
I had to keep quiet with him, man. It was tough.
Yeah.
I think I kind of got the clue when I looked at you, and you seemed like you knew what was going on. You're just cheesing over there. He's winning the award.
Hell yeah.
Oh man.
I don't know where to go from there. I mean, do we end it?
How's everything? Is there any, what are you guys doing right now?
I have my secret GoPro set up too.
Oh, wow.
Both sides. So that's why I was like on the phone, like, all right, turn on the fucking GoPro.
Brad's got a signature pair of bars coming out.
Oh, yes. Fit. Yeah.
So
cool. That's what
he's in town. Probably going to shoot a little promo for that. Going to Denver on Monday for a week or so.
Cool.
Gonna drive out, ride stuff along the way. So
road trip.
Yeah.
Whole fit team or as many guys as you can get together?
A good bunch of them. Not the whole team, but
cool.
A little solid crew.
What's it like? You know, Brad is really good at traveling, obviously. Like, how is he on a trip? Is it
the best one?
Yeah.
To travel with? I don't know. No headaches, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because these situations that might be a little bit uncomfortable are just so not even close to uncomfortable after you've done all these
a 10 hour car ride compared to a 20 hour train ride in Indonesia is probably pretty chill. Yeah. I think the worst thing I've ever done was be on a train in Russia for like 14 hours or something. God. It was so grueling. On a sleeper train. Yeah. Oh my God, dude, it sucked. So it was the saddest I've ever seen Kevin Peraza. That says a lot.
That does say a lot.
Smile's not there.
I looked at him and I was like, oh my God, this does suck.
I've never even seen him sad.
Yeah,
so.
That was it. You're was like, real.
This is breaking Kevin's joy. It must be that bad.
Yeah, smiles only like half. You're like, uh-oh, he's not fully
So, is there plans with Fit? I mean, you said you had a couple other things going on, so I assume you can't say anything yet.
No, I can't. I wish I would love to see, but soon though.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm unbelievably hyped that we can surprise you with that, and you deserve it. And I think it means the world to me to give that to you. You know, I've known you for, you know, 16 years or something, 17 years, whatever, you know, Binghamton, keeping me up all night snoring when you're 15 to give you that is super cool for me. So congrats.
Thank you, man. I'm lost for words.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Shout out to anyone who's got Brad's back too, because you've been through a lot. And like, I think a lot of times companies just hearing reasons why not to sponsor you, you know, which is bullshit, but just the gossip and saying, oh, he's not reliable, he's in this country all the time. But these companies that did, you know, with the help of Tom and then Fit picking you up and really letting you shine even harder. And then that gives other companies opportunities to see like, oh wow, like, you know, he's repping well with Fit. Like, so that just gets the ball rolling. So shout out to anyone who's had your back in the Brad 3.0 career.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate all the love. Anybody who has, you know, left a positive comment, even people who left negative comments.
Yeah.
Appreciate all, you know,
motivators too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't take criticism from anybody. You know, if you're not on my panel, then I'm not. Seriously though,
who's on your panel? Brett, Dan.
Who's Brett and Dan?
You know, just like, you know, like my closest friends.
Oh, okay, your friend.
You know, I'm sure the same for you. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody who might try to critique what you're doing is an actual hater. There are, you can't do nothing about the ones that are really hating.
Yeah.
But you can either, it's constructive criticism. Either take it and learn something from it, change, or you can look at it as a personal attack and fade away. So, I mean, it's your choice. And when I was, you know, I remember you were talking to Dakota and you asked him if what I had done on Instagram over the past 6 months, if I had backed myself into a
into a corner. And I said, well, the corner that I back myself into now is much better than the hole I had to climb out of.
Fuck yeah.
So
yeah.
If I have to ride hard, I like riding hard. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
not like,
that level you set for yourself, but like,
it's your level. Anyways.
That's your level, you know. Mm-hmm. Like that's your shit. You're fucking. Yeah,
you've maximized your own potential.
Yeah. So,
and by doing that, you're just going to keep getting better and better by pushing yourself every day to get a clip that you're satisfied with, because you just want your shit to look good too. It's not like you're going to start one downing yourself. You're just going to keep climbing the ladder.
I'm gonna start one downing myself.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going back to just doing normal stuff.
Yeah,
I'm still looking for that wall right. That wall right.
That makes a lot of sense with all your focus and everything. Just start one down yourself, putting out.
That's something way better than that.
Oh, do
you? I'll show you.
Hell yeah!
What'd you post today? Did you post something today yet?
Nah, nothing today.
About to go get one.
We're going to go ride downtown with DeMarcus, Jaren, and all those guys.
He's gonna get something. Yeah. It's gonna be sick.
You coming out or what?
Brad spots.
My foot's been a little messed up. I haven't rode in 2 weeks, to be honest.
2 weeks?
No, not 2 weeks.
The ramp, Dennis's ramp is not in downtown.
Yeah. I was actually going to mop the ramps and start riding again. That was the plan today. If you want to come out to those this evening after you get your banger downtown.
Fucking roast to tail it.
You all love right. The ramps, dude. I know we talked about already.
That's probably me night riding, right?
Evening.
No, evening.
Yeah. I don't have lights.
I want to get LASIK soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Once it gets a little dark, you're done.
LASIK!
Put me up.
LASIK. Sponsor the podcast for Brad.
You guys come on Night Clips and Shook.
That was a long time ago. His eyes were good, man.
No, they weren't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm usually like,
I forgot about that.
I'm usually, like, my depth perception is usually 2 or 3 feet off.
Wow.
Ooh. It's just intuitive. You've just been riding for so long. Yeah. Like, I use all my senses and, like, smells like a rail. It looks like.
Yeah. Got the strawberry wax that I put on it.
Yeah.
Smell the rail to get on it, right?
That's the cucumber mint wax on the rail. Like, yeah, we got it.
Too funny.
But yeah, the ramps are an option if you want to come to them. Are you going to go back up to Long Beach,
Santa Ana
after this? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll come back three before we head out.
Are you here for a bit?
Till Monday.
Oh, you guys are going to go up to Colorado too? Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Stuff we can talk about after the podcast. We're making plans to hang out while we're being recorded.
Okay. I think that's... Thank you. Thank you for being you.
Brad, congratulations.
Thanks,
man,
for having me.
This is an amazing thing to see you win the Nora Cup right here. There's big party, but that was that, huh? Yeah. That's Brad winning
that
the Nora Cup.
I got seven more to give away.
You haven't secretly given any other ones out?
No.
That was the first one. Yeah, first one of the year. Reader's Choice. Congratulations, Brad. Thank you so much for speaking a little bit on the podcast. It's really nice to have you. Always good to hang out with you. It's been a long time. Justin,
thanks for making
awesome videos and chiming in.
And bringing them down. So I'm making it happen. Justin's the one that made this happen. So I hit Justin up first. Like, cool. Like, well, at first I hit him up, of course, see if he'd be down. And then Justin orchestrated it for us. Sweet. So. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for making it happen. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Unclicked podcast. Peace and love. Shred with your friends. Brad Sims, you're the man.
Thank you.
Reader's Choice, baby. 2020?
Congrats.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
Hell yeah, dude.